Hi, the name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. My guest today is the fabulous Kate Fletcher. I have known Kate for many years. To me, she is a dear friend, mentor, coach, and normal person who has an extraordinary gift. To others, she is called a mentor, coach, board facilitator, and strategic advisor. Her approach in business, and I say in life too, is to get beneath the surface, to shape visions and turn them into reality. She works with clients to ensure they are not only leaders, but leaders of leading businesses, a high achiever, and a mum to two beautiful children. Hello, Clate. Ah, that's a good one. Hello, Clate Fletcher. Who's Clate Fletcher?
I've got no idea.
I don't know either. Kate Fletcher, how are you this fine day?
Hello, I'm very well, Dion. Thank you.
I know, we sound very formal now, don't we?
We do.
Rather than what we've been doing for the last hour, I'll have everybody know that we've been chatting probably for the last hour and a half. This podcast is not going to be an hour and a half long.
Much to everyone's relief.
Absolutely, much to everyone's relief. But I have to say, one of the things that I'm most pleased about is what I've just said to Kate, which was my lunch, which is peanut butter, crunchy peanut butter, I have you know, on a bagel. Yeah, so here we are, Kate Fletcher. What the hell are we going to talk about? We've been talking about so much all bloody afternoon. I don't even know where to start. Where would you want to start? What's the first thought that comes into your head right now? Nothing.
Chocolate.
Yes.
Because I've just eaten half a pack of chocolate buttons with sprinkles on top.
See, my favourite chocolate is, it's got to be a Twirl. So growing up in South Africa, they used to have a chocolate called Dipped Flake.
Yes.
And it looked exactly the same as what a Twirl does. And I love a Twirl. I love the fact that you could bite it and then you let it sort of, you suck on it and it just sort of melts in your mouth. And it can't be put in the fridge. I can't have a Twirl.
It's not the same, is it?
It's room temperature.
I'm a flake girl myself. I love flakes. I think it's to do with 99s, actually, having just had one on holiday, very British, in the New Forest, cycling past an ice cream van, stopped for a 99, and it was lovely, yeah, and it brought my childhood memories back.
Chocolate would be my go-to favourite then, peanut butter. I don't know, peanut butter is kind of like Marmite, you either love it or hate it, don't you?
I think you're right, for a lot of people. I don't have a love-hate, I'm sort of indifferent to it. I like it at times, but it's not something I would go to.
Oh no.
Yeah, whereas Marmite I would actively avoid. I'm in the hate camp for Marmite.
Okay.
Yeah. But peanut butter sort of sits in the middle for me. But I think you're right. I think it is love hate for a lot of people.
So Marmite sits in the middle for me, but peanut butter is a love.
How fascinating. We all are.
Well, it's all pretty normal, really, isn't it? Think about it, we're all human beings and we have likes and dislikes. We have aspirations, we have fears, we have, and I would probably argue a bit that this is no empirical research, I would suggest those likes and dislikes and fears are very much of a kind.
What do you mean?
We have similar fears as individuals, we have similar fears.
Yeah. There are certain themes, aren't there, that form basis of fears.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get that.
The big one, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that one too.
Yeah.
in my portfolio. Comes out occasionally.
I personally think, in my experience, when we acknowledge those similarities, when we recognize, when we see in the other, we connect better, we understand each other better, we realize how normal we really are.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely makes the relationship deeper, doesn't it? And that honesty and vulnerability that comes from recognizing that in ourselves and that in the other person as well, I think is very powerful.
What did you ask me to contribute to? You asked me to contribute to...
It was my branding exercise.
Branding exercise, that's right, yes. And you said I used the word normal to describe you. And I think a lot of people would find that label quite difficult. I think a lot of people would see that as a negative thing because it's not extraordinary.
It sounds everyday. It sounds run-of-the-mill, potentially, doesn't it?
And that's a no-can-do for business, right? For life.
I guess so. Yeah, when we're all striving, pushing ourselves, aiming high, setting huge goals for ourselves, that to be normal sort of doesn't really connect necessarily unless we unpack it and we understand the meaning behind it.
And that's what you do a lot of, isn't it? Unpacking for people.
Yeah, it is. It is actually making sense of things. It's very easy to get caught up in labels, I think, and words often language can do that. It can be misleading. And I think often what I see, we're in such a rush as human race, you know, and in business in particular, we're in such a rush to get things done, to get ahead of the competition, to, you know, get ahead in a market situation, that means we're charging on through and we don't always reflect on what things mean and what people mean and what people's intentions are.
Just as a side, download episode 65, The Power of Intention. In this episode, I clarify how we can consciously communicate with purpose and ensure others understand more what we mean and who we are.
And I think often when, if we take that word, it would be really easy to go, that's a bad thing. But that perhaps that we've misjudged what the meaning was behind the word. And you and I have had a conversation to unpack that a little.
There's two thoughts that strike me from what you were saying there. One about the time point, and I'll come back to that. But the other was around that connection thing, the understanding thing. And I think part of that understanding thing was you referred to language. I think language is such a big barrier.
Yes.
Because our interpretations of words. And I do think language does shape us, because the woman that was helping you with your branding was asking me about what I thought of you, and I used the word she's normal. So that is very much about a perspective, a perception. And it does shape us because we allow the language we use to describe ourselves, the language we use in our head to say, I'm not good enough.
And it's interesting when you look at English language, because I'm not an expert on this, but I do know that there are far fewer words in the English language than there are in many other languages. So often words themselves have multiple meanings, and it's the context that sits around that word that drives the meaning, and often as well as the way we say things, of course. But it becomes such an art to really understand what the meaning of different things actually is. And so, yeah, a lot of my conversations really start with unpacking thoughts, conversations, fears, aspirations as to really what sits around that and what sits beneath it and where's the energy come from.
I find it interesting what you're saying is you're saying where and what. You're not saying why. And even though the why is important, it's less important really in terms of moving forward, isn't it? Because we can move forward without understanding why we're moving forward. We can just move forward. You said to me in our previous conversation, isn't it time now to move forward? Let go of the space that you were in and not focus on the why that you were in that space. Yeah.
Why is such a big question, isn't it? And it's in the nature of what you and I do, it's there all the time, really, for the people we're working with and for ourselves. And I think that it is very important to address that, but it needs parking at times as well, as it does just get in the way of everything, and things just become such a big conversation that it stifles progress. And actually sometimes just need to get some progress and some momentum.
I'm no guru about anxiety and depression, but I know that I felt anxious and felt quite depressed over the last 12 months, let's say. And the thing that fuels that is why? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Why she said this? Why do you feel that way? Why do you think that way? And as you say, sometimes let's park the why. Where am I going? What do I want? When can I get there? What will it look like?
And what's the first step? And how might I nudge forward? And what those nudges, as those nudges happen, the deep, bigger question may become clearer anyway. We can sometimes get caught up in trying to deal with the big question, and it stops us in our tracks. And actually sometimes we just need to move and adjust where we stand on something, or the position we have on something, and get a little bit of momentum. And then actually that question, we may be in a very different place, and you know, to be able to answer that question more effectively. Or suspend judgment and say, it's okay not to know at the moment. I'm okay with that, and I will just move forward, because I know I will deal with it in time.
So what is it that you do then? I want to know from your perspective. I know from my perspective what you do.
I help people achieve their goals, achieve their dreams, work out how to navigate different situations, how to overcome problems in business and more broadly, from a business sense, how to run a great business and all that that means, and then how to be happy in the process of doing it, and unpacking that into lots and lots and lots of different conversations. Some thinking, some structure, some process, and then very much about being and leading and connecting and inspiring and creating energy for teams, you know, and customers and people more broadly.
Well, that certainly answers that question. Yeah.
You know, I look back at my business career and I've got every process, approach, template, framework, methodology around all elements of running a business, and it's all there in a little toolbox. You know, lots and lots of coaching experience and qualifications and all of these sort of things, and that's all great, but at the end of the day we're dealing with people, and it's making it real, making it accessible, and unpacking situations and challenges that people find themselves in, and helping to navigate through that. And sometimes that might be some technical stuff or functional stuff around a process or an application of a process. Sometimes it might be about how to have the confidence and the clarity to create that vision in the first place. And perhaps some of it is just around, right, how do I get some momentum here? How do I move some of this stuff forward? Which often is a blend of all of those things. But at the end of the day, we're people. So it's about a conversation at a time and really connecting. And I find actually often the biggest barrier for people is confidence to step forward and do something a little bit differently. Not massively differently, but perhaps something that they've not done before, or in a way that they've not done it before.
Yeah, belief, self-belief, isn't it? And I know we talk about that a lot in life and in business, that self-belief thing, or the big C word, the confidence, which I think is one and the same. Yeah. Takes me back to when I was in school. I hated art, but then I had this art teacher who really connected with. She was amazing. I don't even know why. I come back to the point, I don't know why she was amazing, but she was, and she inspired me to like art, to love art. The reason why I hated art, because I thought I wasn't good enough, right? That whole adage again. But I remember one particular art lesson we were doing, a still life, and you had to draw or paint the proverbial bowl of fruit in front of the classroom, right? As you do. And there I was doing that, but then you had to come up with a poem, a piece of writing, or find something that was inspired by that which you've done. So I thought, oh, great. So I'm trying to mesh together my love-hate for art. And I also had, based on not good enough, my issue for English literature or writing. Being Dion the adventurer, I would say, or the explorer, everybody else was frantically writing. I decided I was going to go to the back of the classroom. Bearing in mind, I'm probably 12 or 13 years of age here. So this was adventurous, in as much as no one else was doing the same thing, to your point, doing something different, right? So I went to the back of the classroom. I went through a whole lot of books. I found this black leather bound book, sort of right at the top corner of the bookshelf. I grabbed it. It was an anthology of poetry. In the back dust cover of the book, I saw a piece of writing, which I have never, ever forgotten, ever. I probably have sometimes misplaced it in my mind in the sense that I haven't believed it, but I've never forgotten it. It said author unknown at the bottom of it. And it was, believe in yourself and in your plan. Say not I cannot, but I can. The prizes of life we fail to win because we doubt the power within.
Very powerful. It reminds me of an experience I had and a learning I had at an early age. I was 14. I was very gifted at music and was a pianist and a flautist, but I also sang, not anymore, but I used to sing back then, and I had the opportunity to audition to be part of the chorus with the Kirov Opera, and it was their first tour outside of Russia. And they were coming to the UK and they were performing in Birmingham, which is where I lived at the time, and London and up in Manchester as well. And for Birmingham, I auditioned to be part of a small kind of group of children in the chorus. And I remember standing up for this audition, being absolutely petrified. And my coping mechanism, I suppose, at the time was almost to be small. I was scared of showing really who I was because I might fail, I might not be good enough. Mm. So I sang quietly. I sang quietly in my audition. And I'll never forget the guy who was auditioning in the first audition said to me, "You have such a beautiful voice, but you're so quiet. I know there's something else in there." And he literally, I wouldn't say he punched me in the stomach, but he got his hand into my stomach and poked my stomach as if to sort of jolt me into action. And he said, "Right, now I want you to power out." and I did this audition and it was like two different people. And I just went for it. I thought, well, let it go, Kate, let it go and just give it a go. And I auditioned and he just said, "That's wonderful." And I got the part in this chorus. And it was a really important lesson for me because I was sort of playing it safe and I almost missed the opportunity by playing it safe. And he, all credit to him for recognizing there was something else there, but he inspired me to go for it. And I had the most extraordinary experience with them. So the Russian opera came over and we performed for, we rehearsed for about 8 weeks in the run up to this and then performed solidly matinee and evening performance for I think it was 3 weeks over a summer holiday. And it was absolutely phenomenal. Incredible experience that I didn't really appreciate at the time. Of course, you look back and appreciate these things as an adult, but at 14 years old, it was sort of quite normal, right? That's what everyone does.
Yeah, precisely to your point, it was just normal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is essentially what you've done with me in our previous conversation.
Yes.
You have. You've done the sort of put the fist in my stomach and come on, use the diaphragm here.
Yeah, totally. And what impact did that have on you?
I don't know if I have the right words to describe the impact, back to how language shapes us, isn't it? But I'll give it a go. Release the freedom.
Yes.
That's the only phrase I could...
Take the blocks away.
There's a sense of taking the brick...
Yeah.
Blocks out of the wall. Yeah. And there is a hole that I can see through now.
Yeah.
And as a result, there's a sense of freedom.
Yeah.
See? Just conversation. So what have we said then?
We've talked about change. We've talked about compassion.
Time being...
Time, what's normal. I guess we've talked about growth. We've talked a lot about compassion.
Yeah. And removing the blocks, which essentially are our fears.
Yes.
Of what a new normal might look like or be for me or for us as a people. Mm. Wow. Well, Miss Kate Fletcher, thank you so much for this conversation. I really love this conversation. I really love talking to you. I really, really, really have enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I had no idea where we would go or where we would end up, but it's been, it's been a great conversation.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.